Well, hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints traditional service online today, this Sunday. And wherever you are, and well done for tuning in, well done for getting through another week. And we pray and hope that actually as we have this service together, even though we're worshipping separately, that you will know the presence of God with you and that that will be an encouragement today. So some opening words. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Today we're going to be continuing our series on Ezra, looking at this story of rebuilding in Jerusalem when the exiles began to return. And today we're actually going to be in the book of Nehemiah, where Ezra himself speaks and to the people and unpack some of God's word to them. And we're particularly going to be thinking about God's word today, and Heather is going to share a message with us in the light of that. So we're going to start with a hymn, Thou Whose Almighty Words, which speaks of how God's word just guides us and reveals to us who God is. I'd really encourage you to stand at home and sing it out, Thou Whose Almighty Words. And so as we come to just be with God, we come to confess where we've not lived this week as God would want us to. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. And I just invite you in the quiet just to bring before God anything that you want to confess today. And we say together, most merciful Lord, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, We confess that we have sinned in thoughts and words and deeds. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for today. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth, and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works, and your likeness in all your children. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and forever. Amen. Before we have our reading, Heather's just asked whether we can listen to and maybe sing along, if you know it, this song, which just is a prayer, really, to say, "Speak, O Lord," as we come to you and as we listen to your words. Just make it live in us and reveal truth to us. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you.
Promises, and by faith your glory.
And so we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word as we hear it now and as Heather comes to preach on it. We pray that as we hear your word, that you may form us, as we've just heard, in the likeness of Christ, that we may be a light to those around us. In the name of Jesus, amen. And so we come to read God's word, and I'm going to be reading from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. And this is a slightly abridged version. We've taken all the long names out to make it slightly easier to hear the story. But it's in the middle of a Nehemiah, as Heather will explain, and Ezra reading the law to the people. By the seventh month, the people of Israel were all settled in their towns. On the first day of that month, they all assembled in Jerusalem, in the square just inside the water gates. They asked Ezra, the priest and scholar of the law, which the Lord had given Israel through Moses, to get the book of the law. So Ezra brought it to the place where the people had gathered, men, women, and the children who were old enough to understand. There in the square by the gates, he read the law to them from dawn until noon. And they all listened attentively. Ezra was standing on a wooden platform that had been built for the occasion. As he stood there on the platform high above the people, they all kept their eyes fixed on him. As soon as he opened the book, they all stood up. Ezra said, "Praise the Lord, the great God." All the people raised their arms in the air and answered, "Amen, amen." They knelt in worship with their faces to the ground. Then they rose and stood in their places, and a number of Levites explained the law to them. They gave an oral tradition of God's law and explained it so that the people could understand it. When the people heard what the law required, they were so moved that they began to cry. So Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scholar of the law, and the Levites who were explaining the law, told all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. So you are not to mourn or cry. Now go home and have a feast. Share your food and wine with those who haven't enough. Today is holy to our Lord, so don't be sad. The joy that the Lord gives you will make you strong." The Levites went around calming the people and telling them not to be sad on such a holy day. So all the people went home and ate and drank joyfully and shared what they had with others because they understood what had been read to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're nearing the end of our series on Ezra and the story of rebuilding in Jerusalem. Today's reading is actually from the book of Nehemiah, but that's not surprising, because the two books were originally written as one, telling the final section of historical narrative in the Hebrew Bible. I want to explain something which may puzzle you. In the order of books of the Bible, Ezra and Nehemiah follow the two books of Chronicles and precede Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and the Song of Solomon. Yet Daniel, which tells an important part of the story, is way further on among the major prophets, following after Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. This is because of the importance of Daniel's prophecies. But the narrative in the early chapters of his book tells what happened after the end of the second book of Chronicles, when the Jews have been taken away into captivity in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, who had sacked Jerusalem and deported them, together with all the treasures from the temple, was succeeded by Belshazzar. Daniel chapter 5 tells the story of Belshazzar's feast, in which he uses the sacred vessels from the house of God for carousing with his nobles and concubines. At the climax of this drunken celebration in praise of their false gods, the fingers of a human hand appear, and write on the wall the words Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Belshazzar turns pale, his knees knock, and his legs give way. The queen advises him to send for Daniel, who explains that the words mean, "You are weighed in the balance and found wanting." And as the chapter dramatically concludes, that very night Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. This is where Ezra's story begins, because it's under the new dynasty of Persian kings, Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, that the Jews are enabled to return from exile to their own land. So now we meet Nehemiah, who is Jewish, but holds the important position of cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. In BC 445, 7 years after the story we've heard of Ezra's rebuilding of the temple, he receives grievous news from his brother Hanani and some other Jews who've brought news from Jerusalem. They tell him that those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Nehemiah's first response is to weep, mourn, fast, and pray. He appeals to the Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying. He confesses the sins of the people in turning away from God and reminds God of his covenant promise to bring them back to the place he has chosen as a dwelling for his name if they repent. Then he asks the Lord to give him favour in the presence of the king and goes into his presence. The king asks him why he's looking so sad, and after a quick silent prayer for guidance, Nehemiah tells him what has happened in Jerusalem and asks leave of absence to go and rebuild the walls of the city. This is granted, and he sets out on his four-month journey, which is shown on this map. He uses the same words we've heard from Ezra. Because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. He also sent army officers and cavalry with me. The letters he brings from the king cause great consternation among the governors of Trans-Euphrates. So when he reaches Jerusalem, he doesn't tell anyone what he plans to do until after he's made a secret nighttime reconnaissance of the state of the dilapidated walls, riding round them until the rubble forces him to go on foot. After that, he gathers up all the men of Israel to rebuild the wall, and we read in Nehemiah 2:18 that they said, "Let us rise up and build," and so they strengthened their hands for this good work. Do read chapters 1 to 8. They're very dramatic. The wall is rebuilt in a remarkable 52 days, despite much of opposition and even a plot to assassinate Nehemiah by two villainous regional officials called Sanballat and Tobiah. Tobiah mockingly says even a fox could knock the wall down. Nehemiah's strategy to accomplish this rapid rebuilding is to assign different sections of the wall to various groups. Families who live next to a section, people from specific settlements, craftsmen's guilds, priests, and so on. The details are fascinating. Shallum, son of Halahesh, ruler of a half-district of Jerusalem, repairs a section near the Tower of the Ovens with the help of his daughters. Because of the threats of attack and violence, Nehemiah stations some of the people at the lowest points of the wall, where they're most exposed, to guard the workers armed with spears, shields, bows, and armour. And so, with the work complete, we come to chapter 8 and our reading. By no means all the wall builders live inside the walled city, but now they all come flocking back into the square just inside the water gate. And they ask Ezra in his capacity as priest and scholar of the law which the Lord had given Israel through Moses, to bring it out and read it to them. The first thing to note is that the crowd is made up of men, women, and children who are old enough to understand. In later times, Jewish men would be accorded greater status than women and children, so it's significant that there's no such discrimination here. It's in keeping with the command in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that the Lord's commandments should be the subject of family discussion shared with the children, morning and evening, at home, when out walking, worn in containers on the forehead and placed in mezuzah boxes on the door frames of the house. I'm thankful that my home was like that. My knowledge of the Bible was established through family Bible reading and prayers at breakfast every morning, and through bedtime stories and prayers, and later using Scripture Union Bible notes for children. Christian parents have a priceless opportunity to bring up their children to know the Bible and the one they meet in its pages. In recent times, it's become more of a challenge when both parents are working and children have so much else going on. But at the moment, when so many people are at home for so much of the time, isn't this a good opportunity to form new habits? No child is too young to be prayed with and told that Jesus loves them. And children who begin their life of faith early will have a firm foundation on which to build. The second thing I notice about this gathering is the reverence with which these people treat the Word of God. As soon as Ezra, on his platform, opens the book, they all stand up. When Ezra says, "Praise the Lord, the great God," they all raise their arms in the air and answer, "Amen, Amen." Then they kneel in worship with their faces to the ground. This reminds me of times when I've attended Presbyterian churches in Scotland and Ireland, when an official comes in carrying the Bible reverently and places it on the pulpit before the minister comes in. Indeed, it still happens in the URC church in Malvern Link, where I've often taken services for Bible Society. We are very informal in our worship, but if you attend some other Anglican churches, you will see the reverence paid to the Bible, especially for the gospel reading, when the book is held open in front of the priest in the middle of the aisle and all the congregation turn towards it. Of course, these practices may become habitual and a ritual rather than a sincere reverence for God and his word. But are we in our informality forgetting how awesome it is that God has spoken and still speaks through his word? And when the reader says, "This is the word of the Lord," and we reply, "Thanks be to God," is it just a form of words, or do we really mean it? The next part of the story is particularly significant for me as a long-time supporter of and volunteer for Bible Society. One of the main aims of Bible Society ever since it was founded over 200 years ago has been to make God's word available to people in their own heart language, their mother tongue. You may remember the foundational story of Mary Jones, the Welsh girl who saved for years to buy a Bible in Welsh, only to find there were no copies left. The other aim of Bible Society is to make its message contemporary and relevant to the present day. For the people gathered in the square in Jerusalem, listening to the words Ezra was reading, that was what was happening, but it was rather like us listening to John Wycliffe's 14th century translation. Remember, they've returned from an exile which has lasted 70 years. The language they're speaking is very different from the Hebrew of the Book of the Law. So the Levites give an oral translation so that they can understand. And what is the result? When the people hear what the law requires, they are so moved that they begin to cry. They are convicted by God's word as they realize how far their behavior has fallen short of God's standards, and how the exile they have endured is the result of the way their parents and grandparents and previous generations before have broken their side of the covenant God made with his people. And although Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites tell the people not to weep, but to celebrate this as a sacred day, we find if we read on that the people come back day after day to hear Ezra read more of the book of the law. And later in the month they gather together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and ashes as signs of repentance. They stand in place, confessing the sins and wickedness of their forefathers, and renew their covenant to serve God faithfully. Repentance and confession are an integral part of spiritual life. Jesus said that part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. So if we fast forward to this February's daily 6 p.m. prayers, called by Archbishop Welby for us to pray for our nation and our world at this time of deadly pandemic, we find that on February the 2nd, over 100 of us who met on the Churches Together in Malvern Zoom were led in prayers of confession for our sins and the sins of our nation. Nevertheless, our passage from Nehemiah ends with joy and sharing because the people have understood what has been read to them. Nehemiah assures them that the joy that the Lord gives you will make you strong, or in a more familiar translation, the joy of the Lord is your strength, a wonderful promise for us to claim and hold on to today. I think we've seen in this story the truth of the words St. Paul wrote to Timothy some 400 years later. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I ask, how seriously do we take God's word? How much do we value it? There are nearly 7,000 languages in the world. As of September 2020, only 704 have the full Bible. The New Testament has been translated into an additional 1,551 languages and Bible portions or stories into 1,160 other languages. So that means the speakers of around 3,585 languages still can't hear or read the Bible in their native tongue, their heart language. I want you to see just how much it meant to one language group in Indonesia to get the Bible in their own language.
Darana nyundi yubudaad na gigib memero. Dara memero kum. Pok yognal na nyundi gerenche omulatlam siyang wenena. Memero puku wenena ot kemilamak. Do wene ane si ane yak lemla abuka nyundabi elulamak. Pok memero kum ni omulatlam siyang wenena. Ongi nyundabi ketset po. Seni lima po. Sumnini wenena nyundi yubu nisin. Mati yud sampe wahyu. Gigib dangkal wenena. Wera yoksim na.
And this is a noble Maria, Mulana, Yang upni ye wena na na ne miung kiblam nu na boga na ye kombo ne di masyarakat emiung mapo ni sinap ni sini miung se ngiyang ulam upti na ba ngiyang ulam ne yung ne di gin ne kigip lawa biu pertanyaan lama apar sengena ta ne ngelam nu ne ne kigip pesarok pesingding kayo
ane meyong do na but na ne to tiwa nun ngi yenu fi nun dual kitabo do wapti am bu sun benu diwuta ay to bitte meyong di yula rop ne ni sin nun diwuta ay pan nun ngien kan ade to ba
igale sonimi ane sonimi na e meyong di yubu gimi ali bu raak me mer wa alge nun di sari do be fi wenena nun di ma bo mo ma ba def si pa nun ma lo gol yugo ba so ma to ko wenena nun di yubu raak ne ne sal ba yeto Tinudi ma bakal siapa? Sikti na sikte lim sik ma bakal lagi. Om bata balam sik ba. Sikat nuna penasun. Ima sah minggup sendia sik ba peminyak.
Et nak delim na. Sumnen. Emi yang nak ne yang apa? Iplam na. Anu sih. Di mana dia ayu nene ke lak dek ni asa. Di mana dia nene ke nang? Wene ya ko dek lak. Dimande ya nena delia la ko buka sampai pokoprak na orumbul
That always makes me cry, but it also makes me think just how blessed we are. Before lockdown, all we had to do to get a Bible in a translation that suits us was to go into the Littleton Well bookshop and choose one from the shelf. And we can still get one by ordering from the shop. How seriously do you engage with the Bible? A couple from my life group shared this week how transforming it has been for them to start reading the Bible together at breakfast. There are many ways to help you. A lot of us have valued the Bible Society Bible course. Many of us use the Lectio 365 app for each day for a meditation on scripture which applies it to our own daily lives. For those who don't like to do it online, there are many different Bible reading notes from Bible Reading Fellowship, Scripture Union, Every Day with Jesus, Word for Today, and so on, including starter notes for a month for those who haven't done it before. Again, you can get help on choosing these by phoning Littleton Well Bookshop, which is still functioning during lockdown. Of course, you can get them online too, but I would encourage you to support our local Christian bookshop. And there are lots of things for children too, lots of apps as well as books. Look on the Bible Society website for some. So how will you respond? It says in an old hymn that the Spirit breathes upon the word and brings the truth to light. I pray that the Holy Spirit has awakened or increased in you a reverence and hunger for God's word and a desire to pass it on. We're going to finish by reading some words from Psalm 78, which give us an opportunity to make a personal commitment to do this. So this is Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. And I'll read the first line, and will you please read the second? Listen, my people, to my teaching, and pay attention to what I say. I am going to use wise sayings and explain mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known, things that our ancestors told us. We will not keep them from our children. We will tell the next generation about the Lord's power and his great deeds and the wonderful things he has done. He gave laws to the people of Israel and commandments to the descendants of Jacob. He instructed our ancestors to teach his laws to their children so that the next generation might learn them and in turn should tell their children. In this way, they also will put their trust in God and not forget what he has done, but always obey his commandments. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us bring our petitions to our Heavenly Father. This morning we ask, Lord, for your direction and guidance as we seek to live out God's word locally. Dear Lord, firstly we ask you to inspire and encourage those who lead our church and Christian community. We pray also for those leading the wider church and our nation. May the gracious hand of our God be upon them as they seek to rightly interpret God's word for us in the current difficult circumstances. In recent times, our focus has mainly been upon the difficulties we face in the UK. But this morning, let's widen our view and bring before our Father, our mission partners and friends, as they live out God's word in places mainly less fortunate than our own. At the end of each section, I encourage you to join in blessing them using Ezra's words, "May the gracious hand of our God be upon them."
We start by lifting Nick Russell and his colleagues to the Lord. Give them stamina as they work supporting vulnerable young people and families in the Kidbrook and Eltham area. May he be able to introduce them to Jesus. Together, may the gracious hand of our God be on them. Moving into Europe, we remember Terry and Hannah English facing a similar level of COVID pandemic in the Czech Republic as we have here. We ask, Father, for your blessing on their gospel outreach to young people in Ostrava and also for their teams working in many countries in Eastern Europe. May the gracious hand of our God be on them. Travelling in our minds to the Eastern Mediterranean, we come to Lebanon, a country where 25% of the population are refugees, mainly from Syria. Lord, as they struggle with economic woes and the aftermath of the Beirut explosion, give them courage and compassion. We remember Mike Bassous and the work of the Bible Society supporting education for refugee children. We also ask for your blessing on Eloise Wharton as she copes with a new and very restrictive lockdown. May the gracious hand of our God be on them. Father, we are regularly hearing about COVID in South Africa, but now we cry out to you also for other parts of the continent, suffering in relative silence. We remember the Msalato Theological College in Tanzania, and for the students training for ministry, often at great personal sacrifice. And thank you for the opportunity to help support them. We pray for encouragement for the staff, not least our friend George Otiendo, as he recovers from a bout of malaria. Similarly, we lift to you, Lord, the Ray family at Namer Crafts, and especially Ben as he recovers from COVID. Give them clarity of direction, Lord, as they set up a new NGO with the aim of replicating the Namer model of centres for people with disabilities more widely across the country and open up new markets for their products. May the gracious hand of our God be upon them. Finally, and farthest from Malvern, we ask for your grace, Lord, for John and Elise Fletcher and their family in Thailand. Help them with all their practical issues and relationships as they seek to live for Jesus through the pandemic in Bangkok. May they find ways to keep their Roy Rack business afloat and the workers employed through these times of low sales. May the gracious hand of our God be upon them.
Amen.
So we come to prepare to take communion. You might like to pause this and get some juice and bread, or wine and bread, to take at home as a symbol of this communion together. But first, we share the peace with one another. And perhaps as we're sharing the peace today, why don't you, if you're at home on your own, why don't you think of one or two specific people and just particularly pray God's peace on them, where we might otherwise speak it to each other. So Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you." Let's just lift up one or two people in our hearts to pray God's peace on them. And as we come now to gather around the Lord's table to just receive his gift once again to us, gift of his grace, as we remember his sacrifice on the cross, we say the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord, who with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the words, and I shall be healed. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We say together, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And we come to sing our final hymn, which is, I will sing the wondrous story. Which again is what God's word is all about. It's that wonderful story of how God came to rescue us, to bring us life, and how God, even in the darkest times that we're in now, walks with us and continues to be there at our side. So let's sing, I will sing the wondrous story. So thank you for joining us today, and we hope that's been an encouragement to you. And just as Heather was saying in her talk, I want to really encourage you to read God's word this week and be blessed by that and be just drawn deeper in your faith through that. Heather was just sharing with me just now of how a couple in her life group have started reading the Bible together at breakfast for the first time and had just got great encouragement from that. And that's really helped them in this time. So maybe actually, why don't you do the same? If you're on your own, why don't you commit to reading just something at breakfast and having breakfast with God over God's word each morning and just be encouraged by drawing near to him each day. And so a final prayer to finish. May God give to you and all those you love his comforts and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.